we're back. And now some of you may be aware that I live in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis, not Dallas, Fort Worth. That's a whole other thing. Minneapolis, St. Paul. I live in Minneapolis, and we're having a time right now. So if you're interested in helping us out, once again, I will provide a link to some places that you can donate to help out the fine folks in Minnesota who are really going through it. And now we're going to watch some Berenstain Bears episodes that have nothing to do with anything serious. Let's go. Welcome back to D-Bit Bear Country, a Berenstain Bear cast. I am your host, Bill Gonzalez. That's me talking to you. I just threw myself off. I have no idea what I'm supposed to say. I am your host, Phil Gonzalez, and this week we are going to watch two more episodes. I don't know where the camera is. For some reason, I can't find the camera. Two more episodes of the Berenstain Bears 1985 Saturday morning TV show. This week we have a completely seasonally inappropriate one and one that I reviewed like years ago, like literally years ago. We have The Spookiest Pumpkin, which, as you can probably tell from the title, has nothing to do with the winter time, has everything to do with the fall time. And we have The Dancing Bees, which might get a little bit sexy. Now, I'm not going to take... it might. I'm not going to take up any more of your time. Ladies and gentlemen, let's put on our special magical headphones. I've given up on the other things. The earbuds, they simply weren't working. They made me feel like I was trapped in my own head. And let's take a look at the Berenstain Bears, Spookiest Pumpkin, Berenstain Bears. Oh, we're off to the theater. Here we go. Follow me, everyone. Hope you grabbed your popcorn. Here we go. And we're back. We're back. I don't expect an effect of this. Can I fix this? Just trying to fix the focus on the camera is a little off, and I don't quite understand why. Doesn't matter. We're back, and we just watched the Berenstain Bears and the Spookiest Pumpkin, and the Berenstain Bears and the Bee Dance, Dance for the Bees. The Bees Do a Dance, Berenstain Bears and the Dancing Bees. The Dancing Bees. Spookiest Pumpkin being written by Robbie Goren once again, and The Dancing Bees having been written by Linda Wolverton, both of them, of course, based on stories created by Stan and Jan Berenstain. Now, The Spookiest Pumpkin's interesting because I kept thinking to myself, why do I know this story so well? And now, so the basic idea behind The Spookiest Pumpkin is this. There's a big pumpkin carving contest coming up in Bear Country, and Papa wants to enter, and he wants to win the Spookiest Pumpkin contest. Now, brother and sister also want to enter, but brother wants to win the funniest pumpkin. Sister wants to win the prettiest pumpkin, and Papa wants nothing to do with either of them. This is a Papa Bear in this episode who is far more caustic, far more controlling, far harsher than we've seen Papa Bear in the past. He is laser-focused on winning this contest. Something that Mama points out has gotten him in trouble in the past, which is true. He tends to overdo things. He tends to get worked up. But this is actually making him behave less like the Papa Bear I'm familiar with. And I'm wondering how much of that was just the script, the teleplay by Robbie Goren. Robbie, who wrote Missing Dinosaur Bone and a bunch of other of the episodes we've covered so far, tends to be more of a gag man. He tends to adjust the characters to sort of fit the gags he has coming. However, this is still very much a Stan and Jan plot. Because what happens is Papa shuts himself away in his secret shack, which we've never seen before. So there is what seems to be a barn on the Bears' property. We've seen this. There's something like this in the illustrations for the books. But this is a large abandoned barn that apparently Papa has some sort of workshop in that he wasn't let anyone else inside. Now, is this supposed to be the same as the shed where Papa does all of his carpentry? I'm not sure. It looks pretty empty. But I said this during the show, and I'll say it, I'll repeat it for the listeners at home. If you are in a relationship with someone, and there is a room in the house that they do not let you go into, that they tell you to stay out of and never go in, leave that person immediately, because they are a serial killer. So Papa is in his Dexter shed, and he is carving the Spookiest Pumpkin. And he's sort of psyching himself out of different designs. And all the designs are very clever. They very much look like Stan and Jan-style designs. And he can't decide which version of the Spookiest Pumpkin to go with, so he decides on all of them, and he kind of mashes them up into one sort of uber spookiest pumpkin concept. Now we have characters from a previous episode from the spooky old house. We have the bats come back, the husband and wife with thick Transylvanian style accents. They show up to sort of check in on Papa and see what he's up to. They also scare Papa when he runs into them later on, and that's the other thing. So Papa is sort of spooking himself out while he's carving this pumpkin. He makes the scariest pumpkin he can think of. I'm going to be honest with you, it does end up being a pretty spooky pumpkin. And on his way home, he gets scared, but he also starts getting paranoid. And that's the other thing. So we have his obsession with winning, but we also have his paranoia that other carvers are going to beat him and that there are spies everywhere trying to see what he's doing so that they can best him with their own pumpkins. He's not worried about Farmer Ben. He said Farmer Ben already sold all of his best pumpkins to other people who are doing the contest. He's convinced that he's going to win, but he's also convinced that all the other bears in Bear Country are out to get him. It's kind of this amazing look at Papa's like inner psyche. So he sets up a trap outside the barn in order to catch anyone who's trying to steal his pumpkin ideas, I guess. And one thing leads to another, and he ends up getting caught in his own trap. His own pumpkin, I believe, gets destroyed, and he has a splitting headache the next day. His head is all bandaged up. It's the first time we've seen like permanent injury on Papa Bear. Brother and sister end up winning the contest, but the centerpiece of the episode is a very Stan and Jan-esque Berenstain Bears nightmare that Papa has. He has a nightmare in which he dreams about his own obsessions with winning, and then he gets followed and haunted and chased, as the bears tend to do in their nightmares, by an anthropomorphic jack-o'-lantern, this sort of cool, veiny jack-o'-lantern that chases Papa. And when I was watching it, I was like, this looks familiar. Is this based on a book? But I couldn't find a book with this plot until I got to The Berenstain Bears Go on a Ghost Walk, a Halloween book for kids. This is from 2005. It's the closest I can find, because it's the one about Papa creating a ghost walk or a haunted house for the kids, but wanting to make it too scary. And him saying, "Girl, you can't make a house too scary. You can't make a haunted house too scary." And then he has a nightmare where he's being chased by all of his creations from the haunted house. And one of them is the exact same jack-o'-lantern with like arms and legs that are made out of vines. I believe, if anyone out there knows if I'm missing one of the books, there have been hundreds over the 10 plus years I've been doing this. If I'm missing out on an obvious book that this is based on, let me know. But clearly the theme was then carried over into The Berenstain Bears Go on a Ghost Walk. It's a delightful episode. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was very fun. It was weird to see that side of Papa, the sort of controlling, stern, paranoid side, but you know, not surprising that he has that in him. We know him as a bear. He's a screw up. He's a foul up. And we did get a great moment where he's off to pick his pumpkin and the kids start following him. And he's like, "What are you doing?" And they're like, "Oh, we're coming with you." And he's like, "Coming with me?" And I was like, "Aha, now you know what it feels like, Papa, to want to do something by yourself and have someone else join your group without you agreeing to that. That's what the cubs go through every time they go do something. So take that." All right, then on to the second episode, The Berenstain Bears and the Dancing Bees. I said at the top there was not going to be a Raffish Ralph episode in this episode, but I was wrong. This is a Raffish Ralph episode, and it's funny because I've covered this episode before when I did the Wild Honey Saga, which was over on Patreon. The Wild Honey Saga, because these Wild Honey episodes all sort of feed into each other. So this is the next chapter in the Wild Honey episode. Papa sings the Wild Honey Saga again. He makes reference to the fact that he's tried to go in before. They don't bother setting up that the queen bee has a crush on him or anything. But what happens is Papa dresses like a tree in order to get close to the bees. And of course, they see he's coming. So they sting him. They chase him and sting him. Brother and sister actually have a boombox they carry with them to play loud music to cover up Papa's, I guess, screams when he's being attacked, which is kind of a funny thing. But Raffish Ralph is there, and he's like, "That's a good chance to trick Papa out of some more money," because he gets a copy of the Swindler's Weekly magazine or newspaper, and it has a trick book, a book to trick a rube. That's the dancing bees. And it's basically you sell it to someone and convince them that it'll teach you how to get past bees by learning their language. He sells it to Papa, that it's just a bunch of dance steps, because he's like, bees actually dance. Don't you know? That's how they talk. So, Papa, you can learn these dances, and you'll be able to get to that wild, wild honey. All it will take is all of your savings. So, Papa hands Raffish Ralph, he goes to the pumpkin, bringing pumpkins back already, goes to the pumpkin patch, brings out a pumpkin that he's hid all of his savings in, hands it all to Raffish Ralph. Starts learning the dances. Now, the cubs are like, this is a ripoff. This is a swindle. Bees don't dance. So in order to find out if they're right, they go to Actual Factual. So there's several guests. I said there's no actual... Not, I said during the opening theme song, I said, Actual Factual, none of these bears are in this episode. We have two of them. So they go to Actual Factual, the Bearsonian Institute, and they're like, do bees dance? And he's like, bees dance? Yes. But he tells them about how bees really dance, which isn't how bees really dance. He talks about how they waggle their butts to, like, convey directions to the other bees, which is true. But he shows them doing it in this film in the air, like they're flying around wiggling, which is not how bees do their dance. Also, he's like, bees can't talk like you or me, so they have to communicate in a very specific way, which is wild because we've heard the bees talk. The bees do talk. They also wear a policeman's hat, the main, like, guard bee does. And the queen wears a cape and a crown and like a hood, and she talks and she stands on a balcony. It's weird that they're getting, like, all scientific in this one when these bees are not like bees at all. They also don't seem to die when they sting you. So they go to the, so they're like, wow, I guess bees do dance. Well, let's go see if Papa's pulls it off. So Papa's dressed in a sort of Saturday Night Live-esque bee outfit. And he's learned this dance. He's actually very smooth in his movements. He's very fluid. His body sort of moves in ways that I didn't expect Papa's body to move. And the queen bee sees him, and she's like, oh, Papa's back. And all the bees start laughing at him. And she starts laughing at him. But also remember, the queen bee is very attracted to Papa Bear. Like, ridiculously attractive. Like, uncomfortably attracted to Papa Q Bear. And so she lets him get close to the tree and stick out his tongue in this very obscene way. Stick out his tongue and catch some of the honey on his tongue, and he dances away. Well, Ravish Ralph sees this, and he's like, well, if Papa can do this, I can do this. I need to get that book back. So Papa actually sells Ravish Ralph the book back, I assume at a profit, because Ralph is now convinced he can get that Wild Wild Honey and make money off that. So Ralph dons the bee costume, learns the dance, goes back, gets the crap stung out of him. Why? Because the bees never were never fooled. And Papa knew the bees were never fooled. He's like, they were laughing at me. That's how I got... The queen bee was nice enough to let me get close enough to get a taste of the honey. And you know what? I got a taste, and that was amazing. And they're like... And so the cubs are honestly astonished at the fact that their Papa, Papa Q Bear, the man who doesn't seem to have a brain between his ears, actually out swindled Raffish Ralph. And that's the second chapter, the next chapter in the Wild Wild Honey saga. Will Papa ever get the actual motherload of the Wild Wild Honey? We'll have to wait and find out. But those were two really great episodes. Now, these bees are anthropomorphic. They dance incorrectly. But again, this is a world in which bears talk. Don't have to worry about it. And the spookiest pumpkin... Top-notch episode. Top-notch episode. I like these two episodes. I'm really... Linda Wolverton, she writes a great script. And so does Roby. They're both just top-notch screenwriters for Saturday morning cartoons. The gags are good. The animation is impeccable. Two good eps. Two good eps. So next week, I'll have more episodes. We'll talk more about the Berenstain Bears. If you have any questions, hey, if you watch this and you have any questions, ask them down in the comments. And I will try to answer them. How long have you been doing this? Why long have you been doing this? For what purpose? I'll try to answer them. But thank you so much for joining me. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you so much for taking part in this stupid experiment. My name is Phil Gonzalez, and I've been doing this for 10 plus years. And I will see you all next time. Deep in Bear Country.